Okay, me tuku mihi kia koe. Doctor, thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon on Irirangi Wā Te. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, pai te piti a koe tēnei wā.
So attendance, that, you know, that's all about truancy, isn't it? You know, like in the olden days, we talked about kids who were truanting and we had truancy officers and they went out to have a look at the, you know, whānau, talk to the whānau, see why the kids aren't coming to school. It's a little bit more complex than that today, isn't it? A little bit more complex.
Yeah, so if we focus specifically on Māori students, so even before COVID happened, you know, 44% of Māori were regularly attending school. So that's 90% and over. And so with COVID now, and speaking to some of the teachers at our local high school, only half of the senior students have turned up physically to classes. You know, we've got serious issues regarding attendance, regular attendance at school. And we know, there are fundamental systematic issues related to poverty. We also know that, you know, students do well when they've got access to resources, when they've got whānau actively involved in supporting the education. So there are a major range of issues.
So, and then COVID came along and then, it just blew us out of the water, really. Can you just give us that stat again, before COVID, what our attendance rates were like for our tamariki prior to 2020, the first outbreak of COVID here? How were we tracking?
So it was 44% of Māori learners were regularly attending school. So that's students from years 1 to 13. So 10 years before that, around 2011, it was 56% of Māori learners were regularly attending school. So there is a pattern, and the pattern is dwindling down. And we, no doubt with COVID hitting, we've got, you know, a lot of senior students, for example, not attending classes online, not physically going to school, but actually, you know, they've got jobs, they've got minimum wage jobs. And so you've got to ask the question, particularly for our rangatahi, some are obviously disengaged with being in the classroom. Would they rather go to a class where they're not actively participating, or would they rather be earning money?
Yeah, look, so, and, you know, we can talk about how much COVID has impacted on us in a range of areas, range of industries, but there was a problem before COVID arrived with our tamariki. And the emphasis, and you can tell me whether or not I'm right or wrong, the emphasis always seemed to be on the tamariki and the whānau. What's going wrong with the child? And yes, there were, you know, kura in the education system did talk about how to be more enticing, how to be more engaging, how to be more, just a better, funner place, safer, funner place for tamariki and rangatahi to be. They haven't got that right. In fact, they're no matter how much they've tried to change themselves, I'm talking about the education system and the schools, it's not working. It didn't work back then. It ain't working now. And we can forget about COVID impacting. What? You know, should are we focusing on the right thing here?
I like to think we're focusing on the right thing, but, you know, the results aren't there. So if you look at 20 years ago, and I said this in my submission this morning, you know, Russell Bishop's research, Te Ko Dahitanga, which looked at how you create whānau-like environments in the classroom while teaching and learning. And so that was a big issue because he noted that there were poor relationships between students and teachers, that students were disengaged from their curriculum, so an irrelevant curriculum, for example. And so the government at the time put millions of dollars into investing into strengthening those relationships between students and teachers and being culturally responsive. And it's only recent reports by the Office of the Children's Commissioner that, you know, there is systematic racism and bias still occurring in our schools, and it's problematic, and the Ministry of Education need to consistently make this a priority because it's not working. In terms of working with whānau, so, you know, as you know, Claudette, there are parents that are grandparents that had really miserable experiences at school, so why on earth would they come back to school when they had, you know, not great experiences? But we know that whānau have to be actively involved if we want our kids to succeed.
And then it is about that as well too. Are we do we want our kids educated? Is that what we're trying to do with them? What does that mean? So, you know, like I don't necessarily want my daughter to be educated, but I want her to absorb different types of learning so that she can grow to be a bigger, fuller person. But I was educated and I didn't mind that. I'm not quite sure I want that for her now. So is education even the right term for us now? Or are we trying to grow decent human beings who are Māori and like to be Māori? I mean, are we living in the right century?
Yeah, well, your kōrero just resonates with me because it takes me back to Sir Mason's kōrero back in 2001. And he had goals for Māori in education to be healthy, to be wealthy, to be successful, and without sacrificing our Māori identity. Even though that was 20 years ago, I still feel that is quite relevant. You know, education still should be the priority for our people, Claudette. If we look at those who are successful in education, those who are able to obtain the NCA qualifications, they do better. And those who drop out of school early, those who unfortunately aren't able to obtain, you know, school qualifications, you know, there's more likely chance in terms of imprisonment, poorer health outcomes, social services are needed. So actually, you know, staying at school as long as they possibly can actually equates to a better future outcomes for our kids.
It's wānanga, isn't it? It's wānanga and mātauranga as opposed to that Pākehā concept of education. It's a big turn-off. You know, we don't want to be educated, but we do want mātauranga and we do want to go to a wānanga and we do want to go to a kura and we want to, you know, embrace all those things, but I don't want to be educated. So, you know, is there a bit of a disconnect? You know, I know I'm sort of trying to reinforce this, but is there a psychological disconnect with us Māori, regardless of the generations? Is there a disconnect as soon as we hear school and education gone? Blinkers.
Yeah. I think perhaps there is, and I know that, you know, I think of what the ministry has been trying to do, for example. So you've got the Mātauranga Māori, so, you know, with the NCA qualifications, that every subject has to involve Mātauranga Māori, so they've been working on that curriculum for the last 2 years. You've got the New Zealand history curriculum with local Māori stories being integrated as a mandatory subject from years 1 to years 13. So I know the ministry are trying to increase to allow Mātauranga Māori to naturally flow through in all the subjects, all the curriculum subjects. So they are trying, but we have to keep pushing. We have to keep trying. It has to happen.
And then one of the issues, one of the things that you brought up, which I found was really interesting on a number of levels, was that regardless of whether they were Māori or Tauiwi, if the teacher was a good person, then that child would like that kaiako, regardless, you know, ahako he Pākehā, he Māori rānei. They were good, yes. Then the child liked them and gravitated towards them.
Yeah, so, you know, in my interviews with my work at Comet, I interviewed a number of rangatahi Māori at primary, intermediate and secondary school age. They talked about some of the factors about, you know, some of the features and qualities of their favourite teacher. So a teacher that cared about them, the teacher that got to know them outside of the classroom, the teacher that involved them, you know, them in the learning. And so, and a lot of the kids, rangatahi Māori, said, well, actually my favourite teacher isn't Māori, it's this person. And so when I do my presentations to student teachers at Auckland University, and I speak to 150 of them, I say, hey, all these rangatahi Māori saying that, you just have to be caring. You just got to have to get to know them. You've got to get to know their whānau. You've got to make an effort to attend some of their sport games, to watch kapa haka, to watch their polyfest performances. And that's what makes a really good quality teacher for them. So you don't have to be Māori to be a quality teacher.
And then you have teachers who do this. You know, they go out and they do the sports and do the coaching and they do the hāngi and, you know, they go to this, that, and they love it, absolutely love it. The kids love it, the children love it, the whānau love it. And then that teacher has to go home and do all the reports and then they've got to do some calculation and then they've got to do this paperwork and then they've got to do that paperwork and this paperwork and that paperwork. So there's a lot of expectation on the kaiako. What? And a lot of that is actually coming from stuff that where you're not actually engage with the child, but you're writing about the child, and I'm talking about the reports. When I watch my daughter's teachers doing all sorts of this other type of, you know, analysis and planning and all that kind of thing, and I think, how, you know, you just had a wonderful day with my child. Now you have to go have a really bad day doing the paperwork. Isn't half the problem the expectation by the ministry and what they require of the teacher to show how fabulous they are with that child? Why can't they just come out and observe it?
Yeah, well, massive aloha to their teachers, to all our kaiako, to all our teachers. They work so hard, and particularly during this COVID time where they've had to, you know, teach online, but also look after their own tamariki at home. So massive aloha to them. Claudia, so I'll give you an example of what I used to do in terms of report writing. I actually used to get the kids to write about how they felt they'd gone through the year, you know, to give them their own rating, you know, and to be able to give me back that feedback on how they did. So when I wrote the report, I would always have how the kids felt about their own experiences in the classroom, and I would actually use that to inform how I would write reports. So I felt it was a really genuine way of showing to their mata, to their parents, that actually this is a really honest response to how the kids worked, because they were able to inform me of their own progress.
I bet the ministry didn't like that. Probably did. And also too, kids are going back to school now, you know, on the 17th in Auckland and Waikato. And I would say that the kura are really looking forward to having the kids back, you know, so that they can learn and engage again and play and get up to mischief and eat their lunch. You know, this is, well, it's been a really difficult time for the kura as well as the tamariki. What kind of an impact will it have, though, at this late stage, having good, how positive will it be for our NCEA students returning to school?
Yeah, it's really difficult because it's usually traditionally around this time that students would go on study leave for 2 weeks before the NCEA exams start. And so that's problematic in itself. I know a lot of schools are talking about prize giving, for example. How do you officiate prize giving ceremonies? So a lot of doing Zoom only. A lot of them only allowing students to attend the prize giving ceremony. So that's been difficult in itself. And with primary and intermediate schools, that's another challenge because, you know, I think the ministry's response has still been poor, whether or not how we allow primary and intermediate kids to sort of go back to school. And so, you know, we're well into term four already. You know, I think perhaps it may be a good idea for primary kids to perhaps stay home for the rest of the year. I know a lot of parents are also feeling that as well. So, you know, you've got a lot of parents that are quite hesitant on sending their kids back. But you've got a lot of parents saying, actually, take our kids because we're hoha now.
And also, Joe, I just want to get your whakaaro on mandatory vaccination for our kaiako. And, you know, because we are hemorrhaging kaiako all over the country, there are some that are already coming forward to say that they're not going to be vaccinated. They do not want mandatory vaccination for themselves. We've already got some board of trustees saying that's okay, some principals. Do you think that the ministry should assist teachers over the line to be vaccinated? Do you think mandatory was the right term? And do you think there should be, or do you think a hard line is the way to go?
You know, first of all, working with our tamariki, some of our most vulnerable people, it's a privilege and honour. And with that responsibility comes, or with that privilege comes responsibilities. And so this is a health and safety issue. So of course, as kaiako, we all need to be vaccinated. It just makes perfect sense. And I would think that a lot of teachers understand that because we're working with tamariki with kids, so we need to keep ourselves safe and our tamariki and their whānau safe. So I would like the ministry, and I've heard a couple of schools, and the schools tend to be rural-based schools or schools that have a religious character or background to it tend to be the ones that speak out a lot. So I think the ministry really need to support and really push this. I know some teachers aren't able to get vaccinated due to other medical issues, so I think there needs to be provisions around how we can still have them or use them in the schooling system.
And just finally then, And it is about the Education and Workforce Committee. What does it say about our, is it not so much the education system, or maybe it is, but what does it say about our leaders, our members of parliament, if the chair of the Education and Workforce Committee has never heard about the Native Schools Act?
Yeah, I think perhaps, you know, we're all on learning journeys, and so
when you get to
I
a select committee, there's no learning. You either know it or you don't. That's the chair. So it was something that one of the other submitters had made. She talked about her whakapapa, and she talked about the Native Schools Act, and the chair said, "I've never heard that."
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean that's quite disappointing, but perhaps, you know, new learning. So I'm guessing she will probably look that up and hopefully read up on that, because that's an important part of our history.
Yeah. Thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon. Wonderful to call it all with you always. How's vaccinations going in your, see the dot? How are the vaccinations going in your area? See, Waipareira is up north with our whānau and Te Tai Tukero. How's it going over your way?
I'm proud of West Auckland. I'm proud of Waitemata. And we've gone pretty well. And actually, you know, mihi to County Manukau. And what I'm seeing is our local board members and our councillors, the other ones, been really pushing it out there. Waipareira have done an awesome job here in Waitakere, and I'm really proud they've gone to Te Tai Tukere, where the resourcing needs to happen. So I see some of my former students are actually part of that rōpū out to Te Tai Tukere, supporting the vaccination rates. Because a lot of my whānau, being from the north, are there, and I'm glad that they have access to those services. So kia ora.
Wonderful to call it all always. Me tuku mihi ki a koe, Doctor. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon.
Kia ora, tēnā koe.
That is Dr. Will Flavel. He's from Comet, Auckland. It's an education sector, Auckland Council. And